He left me hanging. Can you believe that? Unbelievable. I'll let it go. Hey, if Jesus didn't cast a stone, then I won't cast a stone. Amen? All right. Well, no, it was godly rebuke in a spirit of humility, lest I also fall. Okay, so, no, thank God for the opportunity to be here. And by the way, I understand Pastor's sentiment at losing us and losing the team. Let me say one thing. Our church here is very well known around America. We really are. Nobody understands that more than missionaries who go and preach church after church after church. It is a very, very rare thing for me to go to a church that does not know and does not follow and has not followed the history of our church here in Long Beach. And we're very well known. And you know, in recent years, over the last decade, we've become known as a missions sending church. I don't know if you realize that here at home. I like to look at it this way. You didn't lose us and lose the team. You gained additional opportunity to have influence. And we've merited, to some extent, God's additional blessing upon our church family because, as a church, we're doing what God has ordained for us to do, to go to our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and through your team, through your missions dollars, through folks who will surrender in the future, we're fulfilling God's commandment to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so I thank God for the opportunity just to be a small part of that. And I bring greetings to you from our teams in various places. Now today, due to time constraints and the fact that I have 27 minutes, and this is going to be a miracle, Pastor Myers, for a missionary from Cambodia in a third world country to try to say anything in 27 minutes. Normally, our introductions over there are about 15 to 20 minutes. But we're by God's power. How many of you believe we can actually land the airplane on time? Okay, we have to, because Pastor said we have to. So we obey the man of God, amen? But thank God that Jesus did not cast a stone at that lady. He does not cast a stone at us either. Thank the Lord for that. Let's open our Bibles, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Normally, when I'm back home and for missions conference and whatnot, we have the opportunity to tell a lot of stories from the field. And that's one of the benefits of having missionaries come to preach at your church. It's different than a pastor in a church here in America or an evangelist. We're able to share fresh stories that are happening now from the field. I encourage you to be looking forward in October to how God is going to work in your heart as we're challenged and as we have the opportunity to be challenged by the testimonies of our brothers and sisters who have come to Christ in Cambodia, in Laos, and in Thailand, and who are paying a great price for not just accepting Christ, not just praying a prayer, but for obeying the things that they know to be true. When we preach here in America, it's very difficult to preach something new that the church has never heard. When I preach there in Cambodia and we do discipleship and we do our village ministries and whatnot and preaching and teaching in the Bible college and training that next generation, virtually everything we say, everything we teach is new to them. It's brand new. But one thing that's a little bit different for us when we come back here to America, there's virtually nothing I could say this morning that's brand new for you all. And you know, the Apostle Paul, when he was instructing Timothy, a young preacher, his son in the faith, he was instructing him how to be a preacher, how to be a man of God, what type of messages he should preach. When he's discipling men, how should he disciple them? He reminded them in 2 Timothy chapter 2 that there's some things that need to be a part of our life if we're going to follow after the vision and a plan that God has for our lives. And so this morning, whether you're a brand new believer and these things are new, or you've been around here for a long time, or thank God, one of the things that's touched my heart and Debbie's heart this morning is the number of folks that we used to see years ago, and then you went different places, and now you're back. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. And you're welcome here. I am super, super excited to see some people here I'm looking forward to talking to during the fellowship time that you all used to be here, and you're back now. But I want to remind you, with the Lord's help this morning in the moments that we have, which is no longer 27 minutes, it is now 24 minutes, okay? And I have no idea how far we'll get in this message, but Lord willing, we'll follow after we get done eating and see how far we get then. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul told Timothy there are some things that he needs to remind not just himself of, not just the men that he's training one-on-one, but the churches that he would pastor. He needs to remind them. And these traits, these things that Timothy was to remind the church are things that need to be a part of our life also. You know, one time somebody asked a preacher, how about all these different passages in the Bible that we read and we don't understand and they're hard to understand and we're not sure exactly what God wanted us to understand through those passages? How about those passages? Now, how many of you have ever read something in the Bible and you're like, man, I just don't understand that passage at all? Okay, I do it all the time, okay? And that pastor very wisely looked at that young student and said, you know, it's not the parts of the Bible that I don't understand that really bother me. It's the parts of the Bible that I clearly understand and I choose by my own free will to disobey. Those are the ones that really bother. How many of you could bear witness with that? Amen. The things that ought to bother us this morning and these points that we're going to bring up, Lord willing, are meant to help remind us of what God wants in our lives. And these are basic things, basic parts of the Christian life. So let's get into it and see how far we can get. I see, first of all, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3, and normally we would go verse by verse, but today we'll kind of jump around a little bit. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ, Jesus Christ. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, there's a misconception in many places of the world, and it's really fueled by a lot of the Christian evangelists and Christian preachers and some of the ministries that maybe don't have the right perspective on the Word of God in the Christian life. And they will tell you that if you choose to follow Christ, if you choose to do what He wants, your life is going to be filled with so many blessings. You'll never get sick. You'll never be poor. Everybody's going to love you, and you, in fact, will enjoy your best life now. Right? Now, I promise you, you can turn on the TV this morning if you were staying home, and you could hear messages all day about that. But the Apostle Paul told Timothy, listen, Timothy, in your own life, and in the lives of the men you're training, and in the people that you're going to preach and disciple in your churches, you need to remind them that the Christian life is a life with some trials. Now, if your life is anything like our life there in Cambodia, you've had some trials over the last year. You've had some areas that have not really turned out the way you hoped they would. And thank God that God's with us through all of those trials, amen? But there is a command for us as God's people to endure hardness. You know, it's true that faith that is untested is faith that cannot be trusted. Let me say that again. Faith that is untested, meaning, and how is our faith tested? It's tested through trials. Are you going through a trial this morning? Sometimes we go through trials, we think they're trials, but really it's chastisement. Right? Amen? How many of you could say, you know what, I went through a hard time one time and I realized it wasn't trials that was trying to test my faith. I was simply reaping the consequences of sin. Anybody? Yeah, I've done that. Maybe you're going through that this morning. Thank God Jesus doesn't cast a stone, but He bids you to come and repent. Live the life that He wants you to live. But you might be living, I might be living exactly the way, to the best of our ability, the best of our knowledge, the way God wants us to. And you look at your life and you say, there's trial after trial after trial. What is supposed to be our response as God's people? Well, we see the response that God would have for us, and it's found in James. Let's look over there quickly. Let's look real quick. James chapter 1, back towards the end of your New Testament. Hebrews, James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Let me read that word again. Count it all joy. Can we say joy? Now, I don't know about you, but the things that I tend to get joyful about are things that go my way. Right? I wasn't real joyful when I drove my vehicle from Brother Pachardo's church down to San Diego this last week, and for 500 some odd miles, the fuel injectors were not working. It was, we looked like the Beverly Hillbillies pulling into San Diego, pulled into the church parking lot. Brother Board, what's going on with your vehicle? They immediately took it to the mechanic and had some surgery done on. I wasn't counting that all joy. I'll just be real honest with you, okay? But here the word of God says, listen, brethren, that's you and I that are saved. We claim the name of Christ. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now let us stipulate. Let me remind you here, that word temptations is not a solicitation to do evil. You say, wow, I was tempted to watch that movie on television. I fought that temptation. I'm so joyful. That's not what he's saying here. If you read further on, I think it's verse number 13, the Bible says that God will never tempt us to do evil. He can't be tempted by evil. When you and I are tempted to do something against the word of God, something that brings reproach upon ourselves, our family, the name of Christ, that is not a temptation that comes from God. That's from our own lust. Don't count that as joy. But this word temptation here is trials, tribulations. And the word of God says, as God's people, when we are tempted, we're tested, we're to count it all joy. Why? Verse number 3. Knowing this, that the trying of our faith works patience, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect or mature and entire, wanting nothing. Back to 2 Timothy 2. So endure hardness as a good soldier. You know, there's some things that a soldier will give up that aren't necessarily bad. For those of you that served in the military, you know you had to give up many of the comforts of living at home with mom and dad, with your spouse, the comfort of being with your children if God had given you children when you were in the military. There's things that you gave up, good things. Some of the freedoms that we have here in America are given up when you go overseas as a soldier. I was talking with a soldier pastor last week down in San Diego, and he was talking about the restrictions they have to live under as American soldiers on a certain base because of laws there in that land. But there's a lot of things that soldiers have to give up that are not good. Okay, candy bars, Snickers bars, Lucky Charms. Okay, how many of you like Lucky Charms? Man, one of the best things about visiting America is getting Lucky Charms. This is the truth about me that you guys didn't know, and you now know that, okay? And at Mrs. Stein's right now, I have a box of Lucky Charms. And, you know, in our Christian life, we are called to be a soldier for Christ. And we are to storm the gates of hell with the word of God and with compassion and with love. But there's some things, if we're going to endure hardness as a good soldier, there's some things in our life, in my life, in your life, that aren't bad. They're not sinful. They might be weights. They might not even be weights, but things that God specifically says, give those things up for the cause of Christ. Now, I don't have nearly enough time to talk about what those things could be, but would it be possible there'd be a young person here this morning, or a middle-aged couple, or an older couple that's facing retirement, and you're trying to think, how can I live out my retirement years? Well, you have different choices here in America. You could move down to Florida and play dominoes, or Angry Birds, or whatever you play down there in Florida. I have no idea. Okay, but it just might be that the Lord would have you to give up some dream for the future and dedicate your retirement years to serving your local church right here at home and making a difference right here in Long Beach. Coming up alongside of young couples who need a mentor, who need a Paul-Timothy relationship. And rather than hitting the road in a camper and traveling around America, it might be that there's a good thing, a goal, something you've worked toward all your life, you're a happy retirement, a peaceful retirement, a quiet retirement. Maybe God would call you, speak to you this morning, maybe during missions conference in October, to set that thing aside and give that thing up. Why? Because you want to endure hardness as a good soldier. By the way, let me say this. Myself and our team members, both those that are back temporarily here in the States and those who are overseas, we can bear witness that when you give up anything for the cause of Christ with the motive of honoring Christ, it's not always easy initially, but it's always fulfilling. And can I tell you, as someone who has chased my own dreams in the past, while it might be fun temporarily, but in the long run, there's no fulfillment. There's no satisfaction. You know, brothers and sisters, this morning as we look at this concept of enduring hardness, is there something in your heart, something in your life that the Lord's been speaking to your heart and saying, this morning, as a soldier, you need to consider giving this thing up. Or you need to consider doing this other thing. There are some things in my life, if I don't choose to give them up, it's going to be difficult for me to be a soldier that honors Christ. You know, when we have trials, one of the objectives that God has for our lives is to, through those trials, to draw us closer to Him. I could tell you story after story after story of Buddhist and Muslim folks who've come to Christ in Cambodia. Mrs. Keel could tell the stories. All of our guys could tell these stories. And almost immediately they've learned they have to endure hardness. And you know what it's done, and it's taught us as American missionaries great lessons. Trials are not intended to beat us down. Trials are intended to bring us closer to Christ. And you know what the enemy wants to do when we're going through a trial? He wants to talk to us and say, you know, God's abandoned you. He's not giving you what He promised to give you, an easy life. God never promised that. God did promise that all who want to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. There will be trials. Why? We live in a fallen world. How many of you know some of the difficulties we're going through today is because we live in a fallen, sinful world? Not because of anything we've done. Sometimes trials happen in our own life because God is simply trying to test us and bring us closer to Him. It's a matter of us being willing to endure. Endure. Following after is not a sprint. That's a lifelong pursuit. You say, when will I actually, I'm following after, what am I following? I'm following Christ. What does that word after mean? Follow God's way. When do I finally know if I've reached that destination or not? When we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we'll know how successful were we by God's grace at following after. As we're going through trials and we're seeking to live a life that endures hardness, as a good soldier, we need to remember God is trying to draw us closer to Him. I like a quote that I read recently by Ian Bounds. He said, I think Christians fail often to get answers to their prayers because they do not wait long enough on God. They just drop down and say a few words and then jump up and forget it and expect God to answer them. Such praying always reminds me of a small boy ringing his neighbor's doorbell and then running away as fast as he can go. Can you picture that? How many of you ever did that when you were a little kid? Okay, yeah. Funny stories, man. We did that there in Iowa also. But picture that. That's what we do sometimes as Christians. We're going through a trial and we know it's supposed to bring us closer to God and we pray, but we're not patient enough to wait around and see how is God going to work through this trial. What is He going to accomplish through our lives? And some Christians, they choose not to follow after. They choose not to endure hardness as a good soldier, but they throw in the towel when God doesn't give them the answer they're looking for. We don't want to be like that. And the Apostle Paul told Timothy, Timothy, you in your own life and in your ministry, you need to remind people, not of a new truth, but of an old truth, that life is difficult because we live in a sinful world. God's testing our faith, the sin of others, whatever, but endure hardness as a good soldier and be patient for God's answer in your life. Don't be like the little boy who rings the doorbell and then runs away. Endure hardness. The second thing that I see the Apostle Paul told Timothy to remind people of and to have true in his own life is to avoid entanglement. Let's look down to verse number 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life so that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. What is the objective there? The objective is to live a life, to endure hardness as a good soldier. Why? So that we might please the one who called us to be a soldier. You and I, whether we are missionaries serving overseas, whether you're a staff member serving here at the church, whether you're a deacon who's waiting tables here at the church, whether you're a church member who's simply living for the Lord here, and that's your calling, we have one objective in life, and that is to honor Christ with our life. How easy is it for us, for me at least, to want to become a people pleaser? And how many times have I not done what God's called me to do and what I knew God wanted me to do? Why? Because I was concerned about what other people would think. Now, the Apostle Paul reminds Timothy right here, Timothy, don't get entangled with the things of this life. Because if you get entangled, you have these things in your life, some of them not bad, some of them maybe bad, but you keep on these, keep these things and you hold on to them tightly, you are not going to be able to run that race and please the one who called you. Are there some areas in your life that have been holding you back? Maybe some things you knew God wants you to do. Maybe at work, God's calling you to speak up and to be light and salt and not hide your light under a bushel, but you're more concerned about what people will think than about what God will think. Here's what Paul is telling Timothy is, remind people, don't become entangled with that. Oftentimes when we think about entanglement, we think about things like materialism. And by the way, materialism is not something that America has the market on. Materialism is a condition of the heart. And anywhere there's sinners, there's going to be covetousness. Right? Man, we have to preach against it all the time in Cambodia. So I thought Cambodia's a poor country. Well, yes and no, but the problem about materialism is a condition of the heart. Being entangled. You know, there's some folks, there's some young people, no doubt, who will not surrender to God's perfect will for their life because they're not willing to free themselves of these things that are entangling them. I'm reminded of a missions conference I preached in. And the pastor specifically asked me to challenge young people to step out of the boat and to just do whatever God wants them to do. And so we did that by God's grace. When the message was over, a young lady came up and talked to me. And she said, Brother Board, she said, I got it. The message was great and all that, and I agree with it. She said, but you don't understand. If I surrender, and I think God's calling me to become a missionary. By the way, God's not going to call everybody to be a missionary. God's going to call most of us to stay here and live for God right here. There's lost people right here in this neighborhood. But there are some of us that God is calling to leave this place, be sent out, and to do what God's called us to do. This young lady said, I think God's calling me, but I can't surrender. I said, well, why not? Why can't you? She said, I just graduated from university. I just got my first apartment. My apartment has a balcony that faces the east. Every morning I sit out there with my coffee cup before I go to work, and I read my Bible, and I watch the sun come up. I just started a new job. I just got the car of my dreams. I'm living the life I've always wanted. If I surrender to God's will, all of that is gone. Wow. You know what? I give that young lady credit for just saying it out loud. This sounds ridiculous when I say it. She should have been ashamed to say that. But you know what? Whatever excuse you and I use to stay entangled is no less ridiculous than her excuse. Let me remind you and bear witness to the fact that when we, by God's grace, free ourselves of those entanglements, maybe it means living a more simple lifestyle. I don't know how it would apply to your life, but when you follow and you free yourself of those entanglements, God is no debtor to you, and he will help you to experience the abundant life. John 10:10. The thief comes to rob, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Let me remind you, those of you who are involved in full-time Christian service, what we call full-time Christian service, don't serve the Lord with a sour face. Serve the Lord with a smile. Amen? You know, the best chance we have for the next generation surrendering to serve the Lord, surrendering to live the life that God wants for them to live and to be the light and salt in this dark and needy city that we live in the world that's in desperate need of the gospel. One of the best ways for them to surrender is to see the men and women in their lives who are just a few years older than them that are serving God and are full of joy. Well, that's one thing that I stress there in Cambodia. Hey, guys, you're serving the Lord. Don't focus on how difficult it is, because it's really not. It's a lot more difficult if you're running from. It's harder to be a Jonah than it is to be an Apostle Paul. Okay. Let me draw your attention to a song in our songbook. If you would open your songbook real quick, we're going to do something a little bit different before I hand it over to Pastor. Song number 292. What is it that will cause you and I, 292, I don't know if we sing this song here. Hopefully we do. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. This song has a very interesting history. I don't have time to tell the whole thing. Let me tell it quickly, and then we'll sing one verse, and we'll hand it over to Pastor. This song was based upon the testimony of a single lady in 1922 who went to Africa to serve the Lord as a missionary. She was a gifted artist. There were many, many wealthy people in those days in England who wanted to invest in her, help her to get specific training because they saw her potential to be a famous, famous artist. But somehow she fell in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, and she felt a strong passion to reach people with the gospel. She started out by going onto the streets there in England and reaching prostitutes, giving them a safe place to live, presented the gospel to them. Over time, she became burdened for the lost in a place in Africa. And she sought for a mission board that would support her, that would commission her to go out. Nobody would support her. So she went as a single young lady and served the Lord alone for 40 years in Africa. I'll bet you anything, even my lucky charms, that when she stands before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat, she won't regret giving up that potential career as an artist. And so she wrote a poem there in Africa, and years later, another lady took that poem and put it to words, and that's why we have this song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. How is it that you and I can endure hardness, we can free ourselves of entanglement, we can do some of the other things we'll talk about next hour, is when our eyes are focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to stand together. Let's stand together. We're going to sing verse number 1. We're going to hand over to Pastor to do the invitation the way he chooses. Verse number 1. Oh, so are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. By the way, living for anything other than God's perfect will for your life is going to result in a life of trouble and darkness. Living a life of surrender, keeping your eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, not on people, not on your circumstances, not on your past failures, remembering that Jesus doesn't cast a stone, keeping your eyes on Jesus Christ will help the things of this world to grow strangely dim. Let's sing verse 1 in the chorus together. Together. Oh, so are you weary and Jesus together.
Let's bow our head and close our eyes just for a minute. Tremendous message for us this morning. And the invitation is just simple. What's stopping you? What is stopping you from following God's will in your life? Satan uses so many tools. As Brother Board said, the entrapments of the world, he also uses the trials in our life to get us off base. The piano's playing. As the piano's playing, if God spoke to you, why don't you come? You know what it is. You know what it is. And you're either going to deal with it, you're going to go forward for God, or it's going to kill your Christian life. I don't know anybody that's with a sincere heart served God for a great deal of time and came and said, I regret it. Nope. But any of us that have been in church long enough can tell you a bunch of people that come back and got off target that said they regret it. Let's just serve the Lord today. Miss Debbie's playing. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Maybe you're here this morning. The biggest thing to keep you from serving Jesus is the fact that you don't know him. You don't know him. Maybe you're here this morning and this is all kind of new for you. Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You're not what we say call saved. Let me ask you this question. If you're this morning, if you don't know 100% for sure, if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven. You can take care of that this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If that's you, if you would say, Pastor, I'm not 100% for sure if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. But I'd like to know that for sure with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Would you just raise your hand and I'll pray for you? Is there anybody like that at all? Anybody at all? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for that message. Lord, if we could just understand in our heart that the greatest and the most blessed thing that we could ever do in our life is to simply follow you. Lord, to get rid of any distractions, any discouragements, any defeats we've had in our life that would stop us. God, speak to our hearts. And anytime something jumps up, Lord, help us to defeat it. Bless us now as we go to have lunch together, and then we'll be back for our second service. Thank you for the tremendous message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.